from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out about the Percussive Arts Society's new Discovery Center.
I'll get a preview of this year's ANCAPS Festival of Books.
And I'll take a look at Second Helping's upcoming Tonic Ball. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call What'll We Do?
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The world's largest percussion organization, the Percussive Arts Society, once called Indiana home. Then they outgrew their Terre Haute home and moved to Illinois, then Oklahoma. Recently, they moved back home again to Indiana with their headquarters, a convention, and now a museum. Travis DiNicola spoke with their marketing director, John Feustel, about the grand opening of Rhythm Discovery Center this November.
John, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you in our studio today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I should say, welcome back to Indiana. It's been a couple years that Percussive Arts has been back, right?
Yeah, we moved, relocated our offices here in March of 2007.
Okay, so this isn't totally new.
Correct.
Tell me about the organization as a whole, and then we'll talk about I know there's some big conferences, and of course the new Discovery Center, which we'll get to in a minute. But what is Percussive Arts? Is this, similar to, I know a lot of people know about, Bands of America or Drum Corps International or something like that. Is it sort of part of that family, or how does it work?
Yeah, we're related to those organizations. We're actually all strategic partners because we are in the same industry. But we are different from them in the perspective of we're a professional membership association. And so the mission of the Percussive Arts Society is to promote percussion education, performance, research, and appreciation throughout the world.
So not necessarily, we're not talking just like high school band here.
Correct.
We're talking all types of percussive arts all across the world.
Exactly. The genres of music we touch are all-inclusive. We do jazz, classical, world music, marching percussion, indoor marching percussion, keyboards, snares, timpanis. Anything that's a percussive instrument, we deal with.
Bongos?
Bongos, congas, triangles, tambourines.
Now, pianos are technically a percussive instrument, right?
Technically, yes.
But how does that work with you guys?
We're more geared towards, the traditional percussion as you think about it. There is another association for pianists out there.
Basically, big loud booms and slaps. Okay. Fair enough. So, now, is this an organization, is a member organization, for example, someone who's a timpani player in the symphony or someone who's the drummer in a rock band would be members of?
Yes. Our membership is quite diverse. We kind of cater to two different areas of membership. We have, individual members, which would be professional orchestral musicians. Like, I know the percussionists of the ISO are members of the Percussive Arts Society.
Hello, Paul, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. And we also, our memberships are good for band directors, college professors, guys that just play in their local country western band or at the bar, the Chatterbox, or the Jazz Kitchen. Like I said, our membership materials, the benefits, reaches all areas of percussion. So we're not directly targeting just one particular group of percussionists.
Okay. And so now, as part of what you do, you have different meetings, and there's a big conference, in fact, that's going on in November, correct?
Yes. Our annual conference is called the Percussive Arts Society International Convention. People in our industry refer to it as PASIC.
Okay.
And it is arguably the largest percussion gathering in the world, and happens 4 days every November. And this year it is here in Indianapolis, the 11th through the 14th. And there is over 115 concerts, clinics, master classes, panel discussions on the hour each of those days. And then as part of that, there is a huge expo called the International Drum and Percussion Expo. And that's where all of our corporate members, the drum manufacturers, retailers, distributors, music publishers, mm-hmm. and other organizations are all exhibiting the latest and greatest
cymbal
drum
maker,
sets,
drumsticks, drum sets.
Everything, yep. Yeah. And a lot of those companies are show as a launching point for new products mm-hmm. or even testing prototype products. So if you're, you know, if you're a percussionist or a drummer and you want like the latest and greatest bass drum pedal or the newest stick models or cymbal sounds, our show is looked at as the place to find that.
Very cool. Now, I'm assuming most of this is taking place at the convention center and then other locations downtown. So when people hear that big, loud beat repetitively over the next week or so, that's where it's coming from?
Exactly. The convention, like I said, was November 11th through the 14th at the convention center. Mm-hmm. And in order to attend the actual convention, you have to be a member of the Percussive Arts Society. And
are there any, though, like concerts or events that are open to the public that are part of that?
There are, actually. On the evenings, we have a new thing this year called Club PAS, and that's actually in the Westin Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, we are having late-night concerts that begin at 10 o'clock,
okay.
and they'll go until 12 a.m. or 1 a.m., and the community is invited to join us.
Just big percussive jams? And
Right. These particular ones, there's a different artist each night. So one night okay. we have more of a jazz vibraphone performance. Another night we have some Latin and salsa music. So it's going to be a really great show, and it's free admission to
now,
everyone.
Is there a schedule for that on your website?
Yes. Yeah, you can find all of the convention and late-night events at PASIC.org.
PASIC?
Correct.
.org. Cool. Now, what I'm really excited about, because the convention, you know, that happens once a year, but you have a whole new, essentially it's sort of a percussion museum opening up called Rhythm Discovery Center, and this is located at the Claypool Court in the location where some people may remember where the Bodies exhibit was last winter, sort of underneath Weber Grill near the Conrad and the Arts Garden. And you guys sort of have taken over the space. This is a permanent exhibit, right? This
exactly.
is not like a temporary traveling thing.
Correct. It's a permanent fixture in the heart of downtown Indianapolis.
Okay.
We're opening our doors up to the community on November 11th with a huge celebration. But yes, it's our part of the mission I mentioned earlier was to spread mm-hmm. percussion appreciation throughout the world. And this is our way of, you know, opening up our world to anyone walking by. And so you don't have to be, you know, a percussionist or a specialist in this area. You can not have any musical knowledge at all and come into the Discovery Center and get it.
When I hear Discovery Center, it sounds to me more like I'm thinking more hands-on.
Definitely.
Like a children's museum experience as opposed to, I'm not necessarily going to see, like, famous drum sets on display like a Hard Rock Cafe. Is that correct?
Exactly. You nailed it. It's
okay.
The Discovery Center was a really, you know, a real strategic name because we don't want to be, you know, a very passive experience. We want you to jump in there and literally feel the drums, feel the vibrations. One of our exhibits, you'll actually get some claves
mm-hmm.
and walk through the exhibit, and you can perform the rhythms of some of the different musics from different cultures.
Oh, cool.
There's a whole hands-on dedicated area where we're going to have hand drums and rhythm instruments that adults, grandparents, kids can freely just pull out of the shelf and play at their own will. We're going to have a huge theater organ that's going to have some different stops on it so
mm-hmm.
people can get a feel for the percussion instruments. And it's going to be a noisy experience. and I don't say that to scare people away, but, you know, it's going to be alive. There's going to be a vibrancy and
Now, when the museum, Discovery Center, excuse me, opens on the 11th, is this something, is it free admission, or is there a charge, is there a fee? What should people plan for? Because it sounds like a great opportunity, especially, like, you know, if you have kids who are like, you know, I want a drum set for Christmas, you know, take them down there and actually see if this is going to be something that's going to work for them, right?
Right. It's interesting. The Discovery Center is technically opening for the general public and community on November 21st, which is a Saturday. Uh-huh. And that day we're going to have a lot of, you know, free live music performances, drum making activities, some local music groups performing throughout the day. And Jason McGare, who is the drummer for Death Cab for Cutie, will actually be on site throughout the day to sign autographs. And we're also going to be raffling off some one-on-one lessons with him for about 10 minutes, which will be really nice. But it's a that particular day, it's free admission.
Okay.
But typically, during our normal hours, it will be a paid admission.
Okay. Now, how do you even begin to design a rhythm discovery center? I mean, is there a model for this? I mean, what, you know, did a bunch of drummers sit around and think, what would be a really cool thing to have? I mean, how does this work?
Well, the Discovery Center is a kind of a growth out of our old facility in Oklahoma. When our offices and museum were located there, that was more of your standard, you know, museum experience where you'd walk in, you'd see things just on shelves, and you would read the placards, and that with a small little hands-on area, and that was it. Moving that and seeing the growth now to this new 15,000-square-foot, three feature galleries. There is an exposed storage area in the back, so everything that is not out on display in one of the galleries, you'll actually see through this huge window in the back. But, you know, we have so much equipment that we can tell different stories, like the innovation of the bass drum pedal, for example. We have some extremely early models through modern models, so you can show, you know, from a science perspective, maybe how the physics work for a bass drum pedal from early models to current models.
Yeah.
And so someone more interested in science or the physics would maybe get it at that level, whereas a rock drummer, for example, might really see it like how the double pedal bass drum came to be. And other things that just kind of came to us, one of the examples is Claire Omar Musser, who is a famous percussion innovator, and he made a lot of prototype instruments, and we have a lot of his stuff, and so one whole gallery will be devoted to his life and his story and his instruments.
Are you a drummer yourself?
I am, yes.
Yeah, I can tell you're getting very excited in talking about about the bass drum pedal. So
exactly.
Well, and now tell me again the date for the sort of the free preview, the big family grand opening.
Saturday, November 21st.
Saturday, November 21st.
From 10 a.m. until 5 p.m.
And then regular hours for the Discovery Center?
Will be Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then Sundays from noon to 5 p.m.
Excellent. Now, will this be a place where you'll have, you know, other concerts or workshops on a regular basis, or what do you anticipate over time?
Well, after we get it open and all situated, the plan is to reach out into the community and become another arts organization. I know the city prides itself on having a lot of strong organizations, and we want to become a member of that family and offer, you know, educational programming to IPS and other local school districts, become a destination for the convention traffic to help drive the economy that way, and just be become a new part of downtown.
Excellent. John, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. Best of luck with the upcoming conference, the PASIC, and certainly with the opening of the Rhythm Discovery Center.
Well, thank you very much, Travis, and we hope to see everyone there.
Travis DiNicola with John Feustel of the Percussive Arts Society. For more information about the organization and the Rhythm Discovery Center, visit PAS.org. That stands for Percussion Arts Society, but you just need to go to PAS.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
books, film, visual art, animals, and cooking. They're all part of the 11th annual Ann Katz Festival of Books, which opened on Thursday and continues through November 21st at the JCC. Sharon Gamble invited JCC Director of Arts and Education Larry Rothenberg to tell us about the many events at the festival and to remind us who Ann Katz was.
Before we talk about specific events, I want you to remind us who Ann Katz was and why we have a festival dedicated to her memory.
Great. Ann Katz is the wife, or was the wife, of Irv Katz of Katz, Sapper & Miller. And during her life, Ann was very involved with books and literature and things like that. So it was a very fitting tribute to her for Irv to support the Ann Katz Festival of Books for all these years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's what I like about it is the breadth of activities. It's books, but it's also films. It's talks. There's an event that involves cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to how many people attend in a given year.
It's not unusual for us to have a total of maybe 1,200 people.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, Indianapolis is a big place for readers. Many years we are the NPR affiliate out of 200 and some around the country that requests the greatest number of books as premiums during the pledge drive. So, yeah, we're a reading place. Who knew, right? People who are listening to us on Friday night or Saturday afternoon have a chance to catch two fabulous things. One, a film that's airing on Saturday night at 7 o'clock called Arranged. How do you find films for the festival?
Well, we kind of have a network, and we work with other Jewish book festivals around the country, so we'll share ideas, and new filmmakers will send us films. So there's a lot of sifting, and this particular one called Arranged came very highly recommended, and we were able to preview it, and it looked like a wonderful film and fit right in with what we do. It's a lot about cross-cultural understanding. This particular film specifically about two young women, an Orthodox Jew and a fairly Orthodox Muslim woman, who meet each other in their first year of teaching in elementary school and discover that they have much more in common than what separates them, including the fact that they're both about to become involved in arranged marriages.
Wow, what a great setup for a story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know how it ends. I want to wait. And then on Sunday the 8th, at 10 in the morning, you have an event that is actually part of the Spirit and Place Festival. The Man Who Flies with Birds. I have to admit, before reading in your brochure, mm-hmm. I was not familiar with this.
Yes. Yossi Leshen is a gentleman in Israel. He's an ornithologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's interested in migration patterns. And over that very small country that is Israel, over half a billion birds fly over there. And he was very concerned about how that impacts human beings. And interestingly enough, he had the chutzpah, which is a Jewish word that kind of means the guts,
mm-hmm.
to go to the Israeli Air Force and say, can I borrow a jet from you so I can learn more about migration patterns? And the Israeli Air Force said, absolutely, because over the years they have lost more aircraft to bird strikes than to enemy strikes than to anything. So they were also very interested in solving this problem. So this is the basis, and it is a book that has to do with environmentalism. It's kind of a science book. It's also it's just a great read of a book. And we're tying this in with environmentalists around the city who will be joining us. And this will also be very visual. There's a stunning visual presentation that goes along with this.
So the ultimate goal is to figure out how we can coexist with birds and not, no pun intended, but throw them off course too much.
Totally. I think that one of the main conclusions is, you know what, we are not going to change bird migration patterns. We're not going to change everything in this world. Sometimes we have to learn how to live with it.
Very wise, which is also a natural segue to Dick Wolfsey's book and Mornings with Barney. Longtime listeners to this program may remember my conversation with Dick Wolfsey about how Barney just showed up one day and ultimately life in the Wolfsey household ended up revolving around Barney, and everybody adapted to Barney. And it's a beautiful story about a man's relationship with a dog, but also about life in the electronic media as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great storyteller.
He is. He's presented before at the JCC, and it's really fun just listening to him. It's not as though you just have somebody up there just talking. You really become involved in the conversation. Even people who may not be familiar with Barney, Dick is, it's just fun to spend some time with him. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And,
absolutely,
of course, his books are always fun.
His books are fun, and Life in a Nutshell, which folks hear right here on this station. If you think he's a little quirky, you're right. No offense, Dick. We love you. You have some events that that appeal to children,
mm-hmm.
And some events that are, again, bringing up cross-cultural. I love Yiddish yoga, Ruthie's Adventures in Love, Loss, and the Lotus Position. That's kind of a crazy title. This is fiction? This is nonfiction?
It's more fiction, but it's based on a lot of reality. I had a chance to meet the author, as I've had a chance to meet many of these authors. She is not only a writer, she's not only a yoga instructor, she's not only a dramatist, but she's just a really neat lady. So she brings all of that to her book, which has humor and wisdom, but she also brings it to her presentation. She will, the basis of the story is it's about a Jewish grandmother who is given a one year worth of yoga lessons in New York City. And so the Lisa Grunberger, who's the author, will speak as the Jewish grandmother. She will speak as the yoga instructor and lead people, if they are interested, on chair yoga exercises. And, of course, she'll also speak as an author.
Huh.
So it's a very interesting cross-cultural direction.
It's good for your health to go to this event.
Well, and, you know, we find at the JCC, you know, of course, we're a community center for everybody, but our yoga classes are always very full. So yoga is a very cross-cultural.
Yeah, it's a great place to find what you share, including mm-hmm. lack of flexibility sometimes.
Exactly.
I want to get back to kids for a minute, because mm-hmm. a couple of things in particular, and folks, if you're listening and going, when is this? The NCATS Festival of Books has just started and goes through November 21st. Don't worry, we'll give you website information in just a moment, or you can certainly just call the JCC. But a couple of events, Rabbi Joe Black, Bokertov, Good Morning,
yes,
for children, and also Silly Safari with artist Joni Rothenberg, another event that kids are going to really get a kick out of. How hard is it to find events or plan literarily inspired events for kids?
Well, it's fun. And, you know, it starts with finding the authors who love kids.
Yeah.
You know, Rabbi Joe Black has done a lot of CDs. I think this is his first book for children. He's a wonderful musician, a great guitar player. And, you know, when we met him, it just became obvious that he connects. There are, actually, interestingly enough, there are a great many people who are writing children's books who can give fabulous presentations for kids. Mm-hmm. We weren't, you know, if I could have brought more in, I would have. Someday maybe we will have a book festival for kids.
Just for
because
kids.
There's really a lot out there.
Yeah. And then kids are going to get a chance to help create a night creature craft project. I have to ask, what's that about?
Well, we'll kind of see when it happens. This will be fun. Silly Safari has written a book called The Lightning Bug Queen, and Joni Rothenberg, a local artist, illustrated it. So this is going to be a combination of Silly Safari, who put on wonderful shows with small mammals.
Yeah.
They bring in animals. So part of this program will be the great program that Silly Safari puts on. And then the second part will be an arts and craft where Joni will lead children, and she's just wonderful at this, at creating some kind of a night creature. And Joni brings out the creativity in children, so what kind of night creatures we get, time will only
We'll ask again in a couple of weeks.
And then, as with all of our programs, afterwards, the authors will be there to sign the books.
Which is something we should mention as well. You have books available for purchase at the JCC, and people can buy their books and then have the authors sign them, which is very cool. You don't very often get to be in three dimensions with a writer that you admire.
Exactly. We have the books of all of these, the authors who will be speaking, and we have many other books. We have almost 1,000 books that will be there, including, you know, what we like to say is that at the NCATS Festival of Books, we have something for everyone, literally. So
I wish I could say that puns are rare on this program, but they're not.
I'm
so
sure, I know.
We won't go there. Mm-hmm. One of the books that really intrigues me, or one of the events, I should say, and a book, is called Entree to Judaism by Tina Wasserman. If that name sounds familiar, you might have heard her name. She's a famous cooking instructor, magazine contributor. But she's going to actually lead a workshop, which sounds pretty delicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, first I want to mention the book because it's amazing. The females in my house are just salivating about this book, which is wonderful for me because it means down the road I'll be salivating.
Yeah, you need to try that recipe. What time is dinner?
Exactly. This is a book of Jewish recipes from all over the world, from Spain to India, Italy to Turkey, over the last 500 years. So it's a beautiful book. And, I mean, it's really an exciting cookbook, and I don't always get excited about cookbooks. Now, Tina, who works very well with people, understands that just talking about the cookbook is not enough. So we will actually, as opposed to being sitting at chairs, auditorium style, people will be seated around tables. They will learn how to braid challah, which is a special kind of Jewish bread. They will also learn how to make a decorative flower out of an orange.
Ooh.
So this should be very interesting. And we also have a group of ladies at the JCC who have volunteered to make some of the appetizers from that book, so that will be there for people to taste.
Ooh, fantastic.
Yes.
good for your mind and good for your tummy, too.
Exactly.
and I don't want to leave out, I don't speak sports very well, so Larry may have noticed that I kind of jumped over the book about tennis and the book about baseball in Israel. I only did that because I don't speak sports very well, but there's not just girly stuff or kids stuff at this book festival. There's the tennis book. I'll let you describe it. I bet you speak sports better than I do.
Well, you know, you don't have to speak sports for this. John Wertheim is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, but he's written a great number of books. They're all sports, but as any good writer, they're much more than sports. This particular book called Strokes of Genius is about the Federer-Nadal-Wimbledon finals of 2008. But through this book, you get to know these people as human beings. So even if you're not interested in tennis, John is such a good writer. He's one of my new favorite writers. I've already read three of his books just in relation to this. So it's a great sports book. If you know tennis, it would be thrilling. But if you don't know tennis, it's still so deeply intriguing because he gets right into the human beings of these international superstars.
Cool.
So that is a great book. And Holy Land Hardball is a brand new award-winning film that has just come out. We oftentimes don't get brand new films. That it's a documentary about the attempt to create a professional baseball league in Israel. And it's fun, and it's funny because in Israel, people don't know anything about baseball. And when you ask people, you know, what is baseball, they don't understand because they know what soccer is. And, of course, there's not a whole lot of comparison one to the other.
I can't think of any except that,
you
know,
a ball.
There's a ball. Well, Breakaway, like, I realize we haven't been able to touch on every single event, but what I know there's more to your job than this, but what a great part of your job description. You have to read, watch great movies, and talk with authors.
It's a wonderful way to make a living. As you said, I do a lot more as Director of Arts and Education. I love all of it. You know, the adult education, our galleries. We just had our gallery opening that's related to Festival of Books, mm-hmm. with Lois Templeton, who is one of the more beloved artists and now a friend of mine. Abstract artist, does just beautiful work. And we didn't realize when we asked her to do this show, but her opening show 28 years ago, when she had just graduated from the Heron School of Art, was at the JCC.
Oh my gosh, full circle.
Exactly. That's what we call it, the full circle.
Sharon Gamble with Larry Rothenberg, Director of Arts and Education for the Arthur M. Glick Jewish Community Center, the JCC, at 6701 Hoover Road. For more than 90 years, the JCC Indy has offered educational, social, and athletic programs to people of all ages and all faiths. The Ann Katz Festival of Books encompasses book readings, author talks, films, art activities, and even cooking instruction. You can learn more and purchase tickets at jccindy.org. Again, jccindy.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
It's time to start thinking about the holidays.
Already?
Already.
Which holidays are you talking
about?
Well,
I don't know. We turned the calendar into November. Actually, before we talk about the winter holidays and the late fall holidays, we have a lot of special festivals going on right now, and I know we want to talk about them on our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? That's right. Spirit in Place is going on right now.
In full swing. It is.
It's a great festival, civic festival of arts, humanities, and religion, and it continues on through November 15th. There are so many different events. You just got to get either the catalog or go on to their website.
Yeah.
But I've tried to pick out a couple that I'm really excited about for this weekend. One of them is actually taking place on Saturday the 7th from 7 till 8:30 at the IMA at the Toby. And the title of this one's a little... I don't think it really conveys what this event is all about. The title's Caddy, Caddy, Caddy. But it's actually a Japanese Butoh-inspired dance piece based on Faulkner's book, The Sound and the Fury.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. I
wouldn't have put those things together.
Neither would I. This is so cool. I love Butoh dance. It's a very slow, intentional, specific style of movement, and this is based on Butoh as well as some other dance forms, including also Kabuki and No Theater. And again, it's dealing with, you know, it's sort of Faulkner's, you know, stream of consciousness, you know, Gothic novel, and bringing it all together. It sounds totally cool to me. So that's a really neat one, and that's now many of the Spirit in Place events are actually free. This one is there is a ticket, $10 for the public, $7 for IMA members at the Toby, but it's part of Spirit in Place. And then on Sunday, really, it's a whole environmental day that has a lot of different events in Discovering Indy's Green Velvet Glove, which is part of a self-guided driving tour of all the cool parks and boulevard system originally designed by George Kessler. And there's a lot of other events that are connected to it, including some lectures, like with Joellen Myers Sharp, Gotta Have Plans, and Tessie Lloyd-Jones is doing a tour of Pogue's Run, and there's the Green Lungs of the City, 100 Years of Conservation Efforts. It's a bike ride from 9 until noon. All of these events take place at different parks and places throughout the city. And, of course, if you go to Spirit in Place, their website, you can find out more.
Very good, spiritinplace.org. I have something that's actually part of the Spirit in Place Festival as well, coming up this Sunday at 4 o'clock at Northminster Presbyterian Church. It's a Ronan Chamber Ensemble concert. Which is also part of Northminster's Sound and Spirit series. It's free. Again, it's at 4 o'clock at Northminster Presbyterian Church. Marco Petrichek, who is Northminster's organist, you've heard an interview with him here because he also plays an instrument that is essentially a Russian accordion. Very talented musician. But he's going to join the Ronin for a couple of pieces. The program is everything from Johann Sebastian Bach to Olivier Messiaen. So great, great variety of chamber music Sunday at 4. That's this Sunday at Northminster Presbyterian Church.
You know, in Spirit and Play, Sharon also has a lot of cool events for families as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, going on all day on Sunday at the Children's Museum from 1 to 3, there's sort of a sampler of Egyptian culture that's great for kids. And then also at the Central Library on Sunday from 1 until 5, it's this whole sort of celebration that brings together the Indiana Women's Chorus and $3 bill comedy and all types of other neat things with storytelling and music and arts at the Central Library. Again, all part of Spirit in Place. And then also, there's almost too much to put in the calendar.
I know.
But one other highlight that sounds really cool to me is at the Big Car Gallery, which, you know, we love. They've done a really neat thing where they've given out disposable film cameras to different residents in different neighborhoods. And it's part of a big exhibit that they're doing with sort of community-driven photography. But it also connects back with having stories that have been written by different people, part of the Spirit in Place essays, including people like Vop Ossley, Brian Payne, Megan McCormick, Joyce Summers, who are going to be reading their works. And this is also at the Big Car Collective down at Wheeler Arts Community.
We
and that's taking
that.
Place next weekend.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Crystal DeHaan Fine Arts Center in the Ruth Woolley Performance Hall inside there, the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra is doing a concert that's part of, can you guess? The Spirit in Place
Festival.
And it features, it actually commemorates the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. It's been 20 years. Hard to imagine
wow.
that it's been that long. They're
Do you remember where you were?
I do, actually, and I remember celebrating it on the radio, too. It's been a long, long time, though. The Chamber Orchestra is in its 25th year and has never performed the Beethoven Ninth Symphony before, but they are as part of this concert, and also the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra will be joined for a reading by our Indiana Poet Laureate, Norbert Kropf, who has written a new poem called Questions on a Wall, and that will be part of that concert as well. So you can find out more about that either at icomusic.org or spiritandplace.org.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to give a heads up that the Fall 2009 release party for Genesis, which is the literary and arts magazine of IUPUI, is coming up. In fact, they're having a big party on Thursday the 12th at the IUPUI University Library, and we'll be chatting with some of the contributors to that Genesis magazine in the coming months here. So it features a lot of students, I believe faculty as well from IUPUI.
Very cool. You were talking about green efforts in Indianapolis a little while ago. I want to call folks' attention to something you've heard about on this program, but I just want to make a special emphasis of this because it's so cool. Remember when Captain Sullenberger landed his plane in the Hudson River a few months
mm-hmm.
ago and the birds had flown into the plane? Well, years ago, an Israeli ornithologist started looking at the problem of airplanes and birds together, and in the early 1980s, he convinced the Israeli Air Force to loan him a Cessna to fly with the birds, to try to figure out the birds' migratory patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we wanted to change the birds, but to try to figure out how to navigate around the birds more successfully. And he co-wrote a book called The Man Who Flies with Birds, and you can hear a talk about this book on this coming Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the JCC.
Wow.
Part of the ANCATS
Festival Books. Two
mm-hmm.
great festivals going on.
Absolutely.
The last thing that I have for our calendar this week has nothing to do with either festival. It's
what?
Actually, it's a new opera taking place down at IU, and it's an opera that's set in a death row visiting room with a mass murderer who spends his days sweeping the floor and a young mother visiting her condemned husband, and it's all part of Small Box, which is a new opera going on at Bloomington Saturday night only, Saturday the 7th at 7 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
And I have something completely different for my last item as well. It is the 9th Annual Children's Lantern Parade in honor of St. Martin.
Don't get
Martin's
these two confused.
Yes, don't get these two confused. St. Martin encountered a freezing beggar on a cold winter's night and took his sword and cut his own cloak down the middle and gave half of it to the beggar. And since then, this Saint's Day has been celebrated with events that raise money or provide coats for kids. So if you attend this festival and this parade, which takes place on Saturday, November 14th, from 5 to 5:30, you're gathering at the Athenaeum Auditorium. Then there is a there's some food, there's a program, and at 6:45 through 8, there's a lantern parade into Lockerbie Square, the St. Martin Lantern Parade. And you are encouraged to donate a new or gently used coat as part of Coats for Kids. So very cool stuff coming up on November 14th.
Excellent. Well, Sharon, we will be back next week with more updates on Spirit in Place and Cats and all the other great events going on in town when we come back with
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
One of Indianapolis's most popular nights of music and art, all in support of one of the city's best charitable causes, Second Helping's 8th Tonic Ball will feature more than 30 of Central Indiana's top rock, folk, jazz, funk, country, and pop artists, celebrating the songs of Led Zeppelin at Radio in Fountain Square, and the songs of Bob Dylan right next door at the Fountain Square Theater on Friday, November 20th. Travis DiNicola spoke with a whole studio of Second Helping's staff and volunteers.
Let's start out with identifying everyone in the room. Nora, let's start with you.
Sure. I'm Nora Spitznagel, Director of Operations for Second Helpings.
I'm Ben Schein. I'm Communications and Development Manager for Second Helpings.
I'm Nikki Gadurski. I'm co-chair on Tonic Gallery.
I'm Kirsten Amenschein. I'm co-chair on Tonic Gallery, too.
Great. Well, it's fun to have you all in the studio today. We need so many voices because it's such an important event coming up. I'm a big fan of Second Helpings, and Tonic Ball is certainly one of the most enjoyable ways to celebrate Second Helpings. Nora, let's start with you. Tell me a bit about what Second Helpings is, though.
Sure. Second Helpings has been serving Indianapolis for the last 11 years. We rescue surplus food from the community. In the last 11 years, we've rescued over 12 million pounds of food. We've taken that food and distributed 4.5 million meals that we've prepared and delivered to 70 other social service agencies at no cost.
That's an incredible figure.
It is. And then
it's hundreds and hundreds of meals a day?
Yes.
I mean,
yes, 2,900 meals a day.
Wow.
Yes. I've worked in the restaurant business for years, and it's always fun for me to talk to my restaurant friends and ask how many lunches they've done. And they'll do that. Oh, 212. We were swamped. And I'm like, 2,900. And we delivered.
And this is basically food that, when you say rescue food, again, we're not talking about dumpster diving.
Right,
we're talking about additional extra food from banquets or food from grocery stores that's about to, you know, expire and use it before it does.
Right.
It's all safe. It's all healthy.
Right. We're real food service geeks. Rescued food, you're right, is very scary. There's no half-eaten pizzas involved.
No.
It's food that's been overprepared or overproduced. And we're very unique in that we can take the perishable and already prepared foods.
So it's food that would otherwise go to waste.
And then we also use the food to train adults. We have a culinary job training program that's free and 10 weeks long. That's amazing. So
some very cool work that you guys do. Absolutely fantastic. Ben, the Tonic Ball and the Tonic Gallery, these events have been going on for a long time, supporting Second Helping's work. What, this is the eighth year for Tonic Ball?
Yeah, this is the eighth year for the Tonic Ball. This year's theme is celebrating the music of Bob Dylan and Led Zeppelin. It's one of the most versatile casts of bands you'll see on one show. It's one of my favorite shows because you get to see bands like Jenny DeVoe performing with Everything Now. This year we also boast the return of Otis Gibbs from his world travels.
And this takes place down at Fountain Square?
Yeah, it really is a whole Fountain Square event, really, and we call the whole neighborhood in for it. We usually get about 1,000 people every year. This year we're doing something special with the neighborhood as we allowed merchants to be sponsors for Tonic this year. So if you go to eat at places like Santorini's or the Smokehouse on Shelby, 10% of the sales that night will actually go to Second Helpings in support of Tonic Ball.
Now the idea of different bands doing covers, where did that come from? Because in the past you guys have done everything from, what, like ABBA and Blondie and, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix, Talking Heads. I mean, it's been all over the place.
It's been a lot, you know, the Talking Heads, Madonna, Prince. It's just a fun way for musicians to, you know, come together under a fun theme with each other.
And this year, again, you have it both at Radio and also at Fountain Square Theater?
Right. About 3 or 4 years ago, it pretty much outgrew Radio, and we had to include the Fountain Square. Again, we see about 1,000 people for the show every year.
Now, is it Led Zeppelin at Radio and Bob Dylan?
Yeah, bands at Led Zeppelin will be performing Led Zeppelin songs, and usually what we do is we tell bands they can play one Led Zeppelin song and then one song of their own so they can highlight their own music, and Bob Dylan at the Fountain Room.
Excellent. And then there's also an art event this year as well as part of it, the Tonic Gallery that's down at the AB Framing Gallery, which is just down the street as well. Nikki, Kirsten, tell me about that.
This is the seventh year for Tonic Gallery, and we ask local artists to donate pieces for Tonic Gallery, and all proceeds go to Second Helpings.
And what's really cool about it is that the pieces sell at a rate that oftentimes is considerably less than they might otherwise sell for, but because these artists are so generously donating, we're able to start prices at just $100. So you have artists like Casey Roberts, who's a really cool emerging artist, and as well as tons more, Scott Grove, Kyle Ragsdale, we can go on and on. We probably will.
Oh, please do. Yeah. No, who are the artists who are donating works?
Larry Endicott, Ben Traub, Eric Cass, Greg the Mayor Andrews, Jim Shawley.
So a mix of photographs, paintings, prints.
Yeah, and historically we haven't had quite so many photographers in the lineup, so it's a pretty cool part of this year's lineup is that we're also going to have Jeremy Ephraimson will be there, Kenneth Rem, who's also a committee member, is generously donating. Lots of different photography pieces, lots of mixed media pieces. It's going to be a really dynamic gallery. You know, not just painters, although we love our painters.
We have jewelry, too, also from Allison
Ford.
Thank you.
And these are really gorgeous wood pieces. She's a seller on Etsy and a lot of times at craft fairs, but her pieces are like...
They're artwork.
They're absolutely artwork. They're lovely.
Now, is there a theme that the artists have to work with? I mean, they're not obviously creating, you know, Led Zeppelin and Bob Dylan pieces, but is there, you know, some sort of theme that you ask the artists to work with, or is it whatever they want to do?
We give them full artistic license.
So have you had a chance to see what people are coming up with?
We have seen, yes. Believe me, I think I'm bidding on half of the things that are there already.
It's kind of the beauty of being on the committee is we get to kind of scope out the pieces we might be really excited about. There's a really lovely charcoal piece this year, too, which is also a little bit unusual. And I love black and white art, so I'm really excited about that piece by Tyler Munich.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the opening is the same night as the Tonic Ball, is that right?
Yeah, we actually have a preview party, which will have happened on
The 6th of November.
The preview's already happened.
The preview
the
happened,
the show.
Yeah. Okay. But we, our main event, our main auction happens on the same night as the ball and actually overlaps. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. So, if people want to take a little break between the Fountain Room and Radio or vice versa, they can stop in and see if there's a piece that might be lovely to add to their collection. It is an auction, so if people aren't going to max out their bid, they might want to be there right around 9 p.m. to see what they can pick up.
Okay, good idea. Now, Ben, for people who want to buy tickets, the gallery, of course, is free, but you do need tickets for the Tonic Ball for the two concerts. How did they go about doing that?
Well, first of all, you could buy them online at secondhelpings.org, but they're also for sale at both Luna's, either Midtown or Downtown, and at Future Shock in Broad Ripple.
Okay, and this is, of course, made possible through the generosity of many sponsors.
This year, our title sponsor for the second year in a row is Dr. Greg Sipes and Next Voice. We're also Apparatus is a new sponsor this year. St. Vincent's Health, is a new sponsor again this year, as well as Butler Auto Group.
And Nora, how important is this event to Second Helpings?
Well, it's very important, and it's brought so many people to Second Helpings. It's really awesome how the musicians and the artists support it. And I came to Second Helpings through the Tonic Ball, as did Ben.
I started out as a Tonic Ball committee.
Yes,
and,
yes. You know, Second Helpings is one of those things that just makes so much sense. So through the Tonic Ball is how I heard about it.
It's really lovely that artists get to contribute in this way. You know, a lot of times nonprofits are supported by people with the big money bags and the giant bank accounts, but it's really cool to invite, you know, people with a great deal of artistic talent to donate and bring that to the mission of Second Helpings. We were really excited this year to invite some of those folks in for a reception at Second Helpings so they could really see the beauty of the work that gets done there and the value of the work that gets done there.
You know, and that's something I just had a chance to do, and I would certainly encourage other people to do it. You call it a car, is that right?
A community awareness reception.
Community awareness
car
reception.
For short.
Car. And it's really a great opportunity to get a tour of the facility and really learn about the different programs that Second Helpings coordinates and how they rescue the food and then turn it into to meals for people who need it and do the training as well. Are those on a monthly basis?
We do those on a monthly basis. Mainly they were brought about just to have our friends invite their friends in to see what they do firsthand.
And how would people get involved with coming to one of the those events, the community receptions?
They could contact me at ben@secondhelpings.org, and I'd be happy to have them in.
Great. Well, Nora, Ben, Nikki, Kirsten, thank you all so much for coming in today, and wish you all the best of luck with the Tonic Ball and the Tonic Gallery. I'm sure it's going to be a great night.
Travis DiNicola with Second Helpings, Nora Spitznagel, Ben Schein, Nikki Guttersticky, and Kirsten Ammon Schein. The Tonic Ball takes place in Fountain Square on Friday, November 20th. Visit secondhelpings.org for more information.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Vaselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4.
I'll chat with Indiana Author Award winner Susan Neville.
I'll get a preview of the Arts at All Saints series.
And I'll take a look at a holiday jazz concert. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? Listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter is made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by grants from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and from the City of Indianapolis, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.